Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today's lesson is from 1 Samuel chapter 25, and today we're going to study about Abigail. Abigail. She had the misfortune of being married to a fellow named Nabal. Before this story is done, she is married to David. Let's read the passage and then we'll study. Verse 2, 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 2. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told all those sayings. David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men and 200 abode by the stuff. And one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, Go on before me. Behold, I come after you. Behold, but she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David said, Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So, and more also, do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertained to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. When Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said unto me, My Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not thy young men, or the young men of my lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that speak or seek evil to my lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my lord shall be bound in the bundle of life. With the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my lord, then remember thine handmaid. Now, after this, David blesses Abigail, compliments her on her advice. You've kept me from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself. And, you know, I was going to kill everybody, he said. And then he tells her, go in peace. I have hearkened to thy voice and accepted thy person. So Abigail came. Nabal was having a big party, got drunk. She wouldn't say anything to him to the next day. She tells him when the wine's coming out of him, he has a heart attack, and 10 days later dies. David rejoices, sends for her, and then she, with five damsels, comes and becomes David's wife. Now, I skipped some of that because we're not going to actually make comments on the very latter part of the chapter. What we want to do today is we want to look at the character of Abigail. You say, why? Because she is a tremendous example to women and a tremendous example to men looking for good women. What's the problem? Well, Solomon said he looked among 1,000. He couldn't find a good woman. He looked among 1,000 and found one good man. Well, God's people ought to be the best among all of them. And I'll tell you honestly, if you could be somebody like Abigail, it'd be a tremendous thing. If you would marry somebody like Abigail, it'd be a tremendous thing. And we're going to see that in Abigail's character. Right here in my office, I have a picture on my credenza of a very handsome family. Husband and wife and two children. One of the blessings, one of the great blessings that I've had in the ministry is this family, the Sayo family. And one of the blessings they gave me is that when their children were born, they asked me to name them. You see, they're Korean, and they gave them the Korean names, but they wanted me to give them their American or English names. And so I did. The first child born was a daughter. And I gave her the name Abigail. And I said, the reason is, she was of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. It would be well for this girl to grow up and be like this woman. Abigail, her character. What do we want to see about that today? Well, first of all, we want to notice this from verse 3. She had good understanding. So, notice her understanding. Now, actually, the way the story develops, we can see the understanding when we get into verses 28 to 31. And rather than jump ahead to that, let's take things chronologically, make note of her understanding, and then actually comment on it as we get close to the end of the lesson. The next thing we notice is her beautiful countenance. The character of her, of Abigail was seen in her understanding, okay? And then seen in her beauty. You say, well, not all of us, speaking of women, are born with the looks. I believe that her beauty went beyond the features of her face and figure. If you will look in Proverbs chapter 31, Solomon speaks of the virtuous woman. And when he gets to the end of the passage in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30, he says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Then why would God comment on her beautiful countenance if beauty is vain? Notice, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. I believe that the beauty of Abigail was not skin deep. I believe it went deeper than the skin. If you will look with me in 1 Peter chapter 3, you're going to see something that's very interesting and I believe contributes more to the beauty of a woman than anything else she can do. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without with the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. So I believe there's something about her conversation that can be beheld and can also be very beautiful. Watch it. Verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Watch it. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So God puts a very great price on a meek and quiet spirit and the hidden man of the heart. Well, for instance, with ladies today, you have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when Jesus Christ is on the inside, I believe your countenance is affected on the outside. And in Abigail's case, I believe the beauty of her countenance was not only in her features, which probably were pretty, but more so in her fear of the Lord and in the presence of the Spirit of God, or the presence of God within her that was noticed on the outside. I mean, if you'll think about it and consider people that you have known in your life, all the way up into their advanced years. You know something? There are people that you remember, to you, they were very beautiful. Now, they may not have been able to attract the attention of somebody because of their features. Their beauty was something that was seen in their conversation, in their meek and quiet spirit, and in the ability to see the presence of the Lord within them. Do you understand? And so beauty is something that is very, very wonderful for a woman. And if you're a young woman, develop your beauty from the inside out. Don't worry so much about the faces that you see on the covers of the magazines that you receive or that you see when you go to the store, and the way they use lots of makeup and other things to enhance the features of very young women in order to make them look like they're a little bit older and make them look like somebody that you should be like. I don't say you should be like that at all. As a matter of fact, if you develop your beauty from the inside out, that beauty will last through your entire lifetime and will serve you well 24 hours a day. And young men, you ought to consider that in the choice of your wives as well. All right, now something else about her character. Not only do we notice, not only do we see that her character is seen in her beauty, but it's also seen in her prudence. Now we're going to jump ahead to verse 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. Okay, so she takes off, and the purpose of this vast amount of food is to take care of David's men. These 10 men came and requested of Nabal something from the flock in order to be able to sustain them, and she said, let's do it. I'm going to get some things, a good variety of things, and send these men a present. Notice her prudence. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18, in Proverbs chapter 19, 2 wonderful things about a wife. And in Proverbs chapter 18, we notice in verse 22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. That's certainly true if you have a wife like Abigail, because she's good and obtains favor. I mean, he does, obtains favor of the Lord because of the choice of his wife. Notice then in chapter 19 and look at verse 14, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers. Watch it. And a prudent wife is from the Lord. Wouldn't you like to marry someone who had prudence that was a gift to you from the Lord? Well, Abigail was such a woman. You see, because what she did is she sized up the situation. A servant of Nabal came and told her, "We're going to die. There's going to be a real problem here. David sent some men here. They were very, very nice to us. He said they were a wall unto us both by night and day," which indicated that David had an agreement with the shearers of Nabal when they were shearing his vast flock, because he had, what did he have? He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. They're up there shearing these sheep, and David's men are right there where they can help themselves at any time, and they don't do it. As a matter of fact, they protect them. They're like a wall to them. They have an agreement with them. "We're not going to take anything from you guys, and we're not going to let anybody else take anything from you guys." And so they came back with the entire flock. No wolves, no animals, no thieves took anything out of there. And then David sent some men and said, "You know what? We were nice to you guys. Appreciate a little help." And Nabal, he says, "What is this?" He says, "There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master." Well, that's the wrong thing to say to David. David's going to be the next king, and he didn't break away from his master Saul. He had to run to save his life. And he says, "Shall I take my bread, my water, my flesh that I have killed for my shearers, and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" Hey, they knew. Everybody knew about David. By this time, everybody knew. He's just been a smart aleck, a proud old miserly rich man. And one of those servants came and told Abigail, "We're in trouble." Well, what did Abigail do? She didn't tell her husband. It says she told not her husband, Nabal. She didn't try to get into that argument with him and try to plead with him. She knew what was going to happen in that situation. So what did she do? She got what was needed and took it up there to David and to his men and literally saved her household. Really and truly, everybody. She would have been dead. Nabal would have been dead. All the servants would have been dead. And all the possessions would have been stolen. Well, I'll tell you what. Nabal was very fortunate to have a wife like Abigail. And you would be very fortunate to give yourself to a man as a prudent wife and be a gift from the Lord to your husband. And husbands, you'd be very wise to wait on the Lord to give you a prudent wife and to obtain favor from the Lord. All right, let's go on to something else. Notice that her character is also seen in her humility. Look at verses 23 through 25. When Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet. Notice she says in verse 28, "I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid." She didn't do anything wrong. Well, why did she say that? Go back up to verse 24. She says, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him, but I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send." Can you just see some of the brash women that you know are public figures? Can you see them with this level of humility? Not at all. So if you're looking for a role model, please, don't enamor yourself with the things that you've been seeing in Hollywood and the things you've been seeing on television and the things you've been seeing in the business world. Don't go there. There's a pride. There's an arrogance. Paul said that women should be shamefaced. They're not. No, pattern yourself after Abigail. She said, "Man, this is a problem." She fell at his feet. Listen, he's going to be the king. She accepts the iniquity upon herself. You know what? In that, she is just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? And you know what? We are the bride of Christ. And you know something? We ought to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Philippians chapter 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And what was that mind? "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And Abigail, like the church, is emulating her Savior, like Jesus Christ, because David is a type of Christ and bows herself in humility before him. You know something? That's what is in Abigail, and that's what ought to be in God's women. Do you know something? More people would find Jesus Christ appealing if we were more like Abigail, of a beautiful countenance representing the Lord Jesus Christ in us, of prudence making wise decisions, and humility, not this brash arrogance that you see today. And that's her character, and that ought to be in you, and it ought to be in your wife. You say, well, we're already married, and it's not like that right now. You know something? People can change. Husbands, you cannot change your wives. Wives, you cannot change your husbands. But you can change yourself. Notice something else about her in verses 26 and 27. Notice the character of Abigail is seen in her diplomacy. In verse 26, now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood. Boy, that's awfully presumptuous of her. She stopped, she stooped to the ground, she said, put the iniquities on me, forgive me. And then she says, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself, he hasn't revealed to her that he's not going to shed blood and avenge himself. But in her diplomacy, she reads into the situation that she can step that far forward, and she says, you're not gonna kill us. The Lord has withholden thee from shedding blood. But from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand. Now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. Wow. You know what diplomacy is? It's the ability to deal effectively with people, to read the situation, to know exactly what to say, to become effective. And in this case, she was very effective because she stopped him cold in his tracks and saved her household. You know, when she eventually marries, she takes five of her damsels with her to David. Those five damsels would have been dead. The servant who advised her would have been dead. The servants that were carrying the gifts would have been dead. Her husband would have been dead. She would have been dead. You see, the diplomacy, it's an amazing thing. Diplomacy today is unfortunate because it's not like this at all. Diplomacy today is the ability to lie and get away with it. And we're not talking about that. Here is a person who can be very truthful, but read the situation and not get so emotional and overbearing that, you know, it's like you see in so many things that you don't like today. This is a person that says, you know something, I can tell the heart of the man that's standing before me, and I'm going to say this and mean this and accomplish something. And she did. Now remember, when we first found out about Abigail, the Bible says that she was a woman of good understanding. So now we're going to see the character of Abigail seen in her understanding. Look at verse 28 and 29, 30 and 31. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. Watch it. Look at her understanding. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. He did. Eventually it turned into the house of David from which Jesus Christ came. Because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. She knew who the strength of Saul's army was. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. That's Saul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. You're going to live. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. David conquered his border all the way out to the Euphrates River. It shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all good that he hath spoken concerning thee. Well, then she understood and believed the prophecy. And shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. She knew he was going to be king. So did Nabal, but Nabal didn't heed it. That this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, that would have been a blemish on his kingdom, or that my Lord hath avenged himself, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. You know what that is? That is a woman who understood David and understood the prophecies concerning David and believed them and could repeat them in every aspect of what God was going to do in David's life. Let me tell you something. When you have good understanding, you have an ability to take what's in the words of God and apply those words to your life in such a way that your life is directed according to the will of God. It's exactly what Abigail did. What a tremendous character trait. How desirous that would be of God's people. And then finally, notice her astuteness in verse 31. Right at the end, she said, "When the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid." Woo! That's pretty good. Pretty shrewd, pretty clever, pretty astute. What? "I'm doing all this for you, but not without cause. When the Lord's dealt well with you, remember me." That's what Rahab did, and that's how she saved her entire family when she showed the spies of Jericho. That's what Joseph did when he talked to the butler and baker and said, "Hey, when you get out, remember me." And eventually he got out, and Rahab's family was spared, and Abigail ended up married to David. I'm telling you, what a tremendous character. What a great example for the bride of Christ. What a great example for women. What a great test for a man in seeking a wife. Praise the Lord for Abigail.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.